What day is it?
Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday. You know what that means.
Tuesday. Tuesday. If that's all right.
Tuesday.
Tuesday's gone with the wind.
I thought today was Tuesday.
Now you get it every Tuesday.
Tuesday's gray and Wednesday too.
Tuesday. Today is Tuesday.
And that's where they are now for this Tuesday.
It's two for Tuesday. You get two for the price of one.
Now, broadcasting from the palatial Bob and Sherry studios on this Tuesday, it's Bob and Sherry.
Happy Tuesday, the hardest day of the week, but we got you covered. We have some good stuff coming up for you today, including a flame-throwing robot dog. But before we get to that, right before the show started, Lamar was telling us that he's gotten this kind of weird micro-obsession over a hole, like in the ground, Lamar, a hole in the ground.
Yeah, I was flipping through some stuff, and I ran across this, and this may be too technical for early in the morning, but all right, when I say the deepest hole in the earth, what do you visualize? What do you see in your head?
I mean, like a big old crater, you know, like a giant, enormous crater.
I would visualize the ratings of the old station after we left. That's what I'm visualizing here.
You would both be wrong, okay? Uh-huh. The hole itself is the same size as a dinner plate, about 9 inches mm-hmm. across, okay? Mm-hmm. But it is 42,230 foot deep, straight down, mm-hmm. over 7.5 miles into the Earth's crust. The hole is the Kola Super Deep Borehole in Russia's Kola Peninsula. Now, the drilling project, they started this in 1970, and they stopped it in 1992, and they sealed it up in 2005. So now it's got a cap over it with a bunch of big screws and bolts and stuff in it to keep it closed. The small diameter of the hole, to me, is what makes it so creepy. In fact, yeah. The people that live close by in the community, close to the drilling site, they claim to hear screams of people being tortured in hell. I think that might be a big imagination. I mean, but you know, but you think, why would you dig a hole this deep? Well,
I have the answer. Putin wanted to see what hell looked like after he dies. That's
just,
what
just
it
to
was.
Give a, just to give a
yeah.
check.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. It was one of the races of the Cold War. Everybody knows about the space race, but while that was going on, there was also a race to dig the deepest hole in the earth. Other countries were in it, and Germany and America and a different place. They were all in this race trying to do this. And you ask, well, the Russians won it, but why did they stop? Well, now, as deep as they got, this is still only one-third of the way through the Earth's crust. There's all kinds of, first is the crust, and there's got two or three more sections before you get down to the center. And the deeper they got, the closer to the mantle that they got, it starts to get really hot. And they were expecting to hit maybe 212 degrees, okay? But when they got to this depth, it was 356 degrees. So at that point in time, for the equipment that they had, it was just too hot. They couldn't continue. Their equipment couldn't handle it. So they had to pull everything out. And you got to figure this. If you're digging 7.5 miles deep, that's a lot of equipment all hooked together. And it's just mind-boggling you could do this. I mean, it's just crazy to think you could do this.
Do you know, like, why? I mean, it's the most digging a hole is the most basic human behavior. Like, we all did it in the backyard when we were little.
Yeah.
Like, why did they want to? Because the diameter of a pie plate, that's so weird and small. Why
but
did they do this? What were they looking for? Oh, okay.
They found fossils. They found, you know, it tested to see how far down you could hit water. There were a lot of information that they gathered from this. And they're hoping to figure out, you know, how the Earth was formed. And, you know, it's just like when we go to these other planets and we grab some rocks and dust and stuff there and bring it back and study it. What they're getting to at 7.5 miles deep, they're getting dirt and debris and things that we've never had our hands on. So They're studying all of that stuff. They say they're going to probably try to go back eventually, but they just haven't went back to try to go any deeper.
I love the fact that the people who live near it say they can hear screams from hell.
That could be in any city in that country, in Russia. You can hear screams at any time during the day.
That is wild. We're going to pause here. I have to go Google a picture and look at this thing. We got morons in the news coming up. Comedian Dennis Gasciola. Things Bob didn't know. What a Tuesday. It's Bob and Sherry. Check out our Catterday contest at bobandsherry.com where you can win a hide and scratch cat scratching box. Hide and scratch is exactly the box your cat wants and deserves.
Bob and Sherry, this is Dylan in Kansas City. I was listening to y'all or to Sherry talk about the floor drove and people with ADHD. And I just wanted to thank you for, number one, giving me a glimpse of what is apparently my future in a few years. I'm 30 years old now, and apparently I'm going to grow up to be just like Mr. Kevin Nash. And, hey, if I grow up to be half the man he is, I think that'll be all right. And also, I'm going to have to cut out this little bit of audio and send it to my loving girlfriend to kind of vindicate myself because, my God, she has to deal with me and my bull crap all the time. So here's a little bit of a, hey, it's not my fault that I can send to her. But the way we ended up dealing with our floor drove situation is we actually have separate offices that we keep our clothes in. Hers are in a dresser and mine are in my laundry basket. But we make it work and we love each other through it and despite it. And we just going to keep doing what we do. And y'all keep doing what y'all do and make people happy. Have a good one.
Aw, Dylan.
She's going to kill him. She is. Eventually, she's going to kill him.
So if you didn't hear that wardrobe thing, it was so interesting. It was about how if you have ADHD, it's just a very different kind of brain. And people with ADHD see the world super differently. So, of course, my husband has the raging case of it. So here's the deal with the wardrobe. For a person with ADHD, taking the laundry out of the dryer and dumping it on a chair in the bedroom or on the bed or the floor next to the bed with the intention of folding it and putting it away later, as soon as they drop that pile of laundry, wherever they drop it, their brain ticks the box on that task. It's done. And they just move on from it. And they don't even think about it anymore. They don't see it anymore. They're not doing that to make you crazy, even though it makes you crazy. It's just that for them, picking up the laundry and moving it to somewhere else is the same thing as folding it or hanging it and putting it away. Their brain just thinks, okay, we're done here. And that was really helpful. Learning that was super helpful to me because that is the person I live with. I said on the show when we talked about this, when he had his leg operated on and I got him home from the hospital and he was whacked on the pain meds and sound asleep from the anesthesia, the first thing I did was put all of his clothes away. Because what he does, and this is the thing that the floor drobers do, they get confused about, is this clean? Is that dirty? Let me just wash it all. And sometimes they end up washing clean clothes two or three times before anything goes where it's supposed to go. So that's, I got all of his stuff put away. Now that he's walking, his stuff is accumulating again. But I told him about this floor drobe thing and I was like, you know what? I appreciate your very different and very special brain. And I'm going to try to not be driven insane by what to me seems like the most crazy, lazy, sloppy behavior. But I see now that it is not that. And if you're happy storing all of your clothes in a great big pile, what am I? I'm not your mom. Right. So that's what that floor drobe situation was all about. So for all of you people that have treadmills in your bedroom that are basically there to catch laundry, piles of unfolded stuff in baskets, it's just the way your brain works. You don't need to beat yourself up about it.
There must be different types of ADHD. Like I'm accused of having it all the time. And yet I hang my clothes up. I had a girlfriend once. I came home and as a favor, she arranged my closet color coordinated. Like all the blue shirts were together. The white shirts were together. you know, and I walked in and I looked at it and I went, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I don't do that, but every once in a while. And yet I'm sure I must have ADHD because I just, there were certain classes in school I just could not grasp. I would tune out and start thinking of Mad Magazine or something. It's
that's
the most
not a sign
confusing
of, that's not
thing.
A sign. That's not a sign of ADHD, though. That's just you were bored.
Why would it not be?
Tuning out and not paying attention in certain classes, it's when you struggle. There are multiple kinds of ADHD. Kevin has the inattentive variety. Some people have the hyperactive variety. Tuning out for some things and tuning in for others. You do not, you are extremely meticulous and fastidious about your stuff. I don't think you have ADHD. I think you have selective attention disorder. I think you think there are things that you shouldn't have to do or pay attention to because you're Bob.
Yeah.
And I think that's been true since you were about 12.
You're suffering that's from being Bob. It's a lifelong thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's not my fault.
It's not your fault. You can't.
Here today. Hey. It's not my fault.
Hey. Did you ask to be Bob? I don't think you did. You just got handed.
Who would?
You got handed the job, Bob, and you're doing the best you can.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Morons
here.
You know what? You're the best Bob you know how to be, mister. You just go ahead and give yourself a round of applause. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Jerry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's Bob and Sherry.
The craziest.
Moronic. Asinine.
With Morons in the News.
This is the rarest of all morons. A white-collar moron who's doing time in jail. Listen to this. His name is Justin B. Champlain, and he is the chief deputy assessor in Ascension Parish, which I believe is in Illinois. And so he's the second in line in the assessor's office, which, of course, controls taxes and things like that. The guy who is first in line is Mr. M.J. Mert Smiley Jr., which sounds like a character Jackie Gleason would play in a movie. Smiley Jr. But that's the number one guy. The number two guy is Justin. He's the chief deputy assessor. And what did he do? Well, they were redoing the property tax records, and Mr. Justin decided to lower his property taxes by himself two times in the period of about a year. And so rather than paying, $8,000 a year, he was paying probably a couple of grand, and he was getting away with it until they took a look. Somebody came in just to document that everything was on the up and up, and they found out that in essence, Justin was stealing thousands of dollars every year from the assessor's office. And listen to this. He is in jail right now. He is a white-collar guy that was in charge of the local taxes, and he is doing time. And of course, those taxes are used to fund schools and law enforcement and all sorts of local agencies. You don't see a white collar guy going staying in the can very long, but he is.
Good. Good, good, good. Good.
Yeah.
Let it be an example to all of them as far as I'm
exactly.
Yeah. Holiday, Utah. Residents of a Salt Lake City neighborhood were evacuated after large amounts of explosive material were found inside of a home. Officials with Unified Fire Authority described the amount of ancient dynamite found at the home as a lot. Captain Tony Parker said the dynamite had been in the family's possession for generations and generations. Oh, so this has got to be like 50 to 75 years old. To say that he's a collector of fine explosives would be an understatement, Barker said. Crews were called to the home after a resident called a friend over for advice on how to remove the explosive. Barker said there did not appear to be any malicious intent with the explosive. They just had it. The bomb squad expected to conduct a controlled detonation to dispose of the dynamite. Barker said the blast would be contained to the home and no neighbors' homes were expected to be impacted. He did not say the same for the homeowner's residence. This house will be uninhabitable at the end of this event. The homeowner was brought back in to get personal items. Firefighters were on hand in case this didn't go as planned. They plan to be cleaning up after the blast for quite some time. Emergency responders went door to door in the blast radius to tell people to evacuate. Other neighbors were asked to shelter in place. Officials did not say exactly how old or how much the explosive material was found. Barker said in his 28 years as a firefighter, he has never witnessed what he had found inside this home. Now, I assume it is too dangerous to move, so they are going to blow up the entire house. I'm thinking insurance is not covering that. Wow. Insurance is going to say, nah, we're not covering that. They're going to blow up the house because they're afraid to move it. That's how old it is.
Oh, man, I'm so jealous. I had a condo I couldn't get rid of. I just could not get rid of this condo. I would have given anything to have that.
I just like how it's a lot of dynamite. We just have it. The most casual. Today's moron of the day is a woman that got pulled over in Denmark near Copenhagen. She was talking on a handheld cell phone while driving. That's against the law there. And she wasn't wearing her seatbelt. Police also noticed that the tires on the car were completely worn out. There were no glass in the rear windows. And the vehicle's insurance had expired. So they said, ma'am, what's going on here? And she would not make eye contact. She turned her face away, rolled the driver's side window up, even though there was no glass in the other windows, and would not look at or speak to the police. It was almost like a kid who's like, if you can't see me, then I can't see you. Like, They had to call a mechanic to get into the vehicle. Then they detained her, and they took her to the hospital for a blood test and an evaluation. They found all sorts of knives in the car, and that's against the rules, too. I love this queen, though. She was like, if I don't look at you or speak to you, perhaps you'll give up and go away.
I like that attitude.
Karamia
would do that. Karamia would be like, don't see me. I'm like, how can I not see you? Of course, don't see me. Don't. This was the grown-up Danish version of Don't See Me. Straight ahead, comedian Dennis, guest Yola, and things Bob didn't know. It's Bob and Sherry.
Use the Talk Back feature.
Talk Back feature.
On the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
You know, the very last thing that you would expect to see when on the morning commute to work is an elephant walking across the road.
However, for folks
in Butte, Montana, that's exactly what happened. Video shows a huge elephant just strolling across traffic in the middle of a busy street. A 58-year-old Asian elephant named Viola got loose and paraded through parking lots of a gas station and a casino in Butte, Montana. She was getting a bath before a performance, and she just managed to escape. This wasn't like in the movies with her stomping on cars and picking up people with her trunk and all this kind of stuff. The whole thing only lasted about 10 minutes. Her professional trainer, and I use the word professional very loosely, her professional trainer was very calm, and the elephant stayed calm, and there was no damage. Although, she did leave a very large present on somebody's lawn in their front yard. So,
hey, people pay money for that. That's good fertilizer.
Bob would love
to have a bag of that in the trunk of his car for a week.
Wouldn't you love to just be driving down the road and watch an elephant walk across the road?
Yes, I would. I've only seen one, like maybe once.
When Ringling Brothers used to still have elephants, I was stopped in traffic, and the elephants walked in front of the traffic. I had to wait for them to go through the intersection.
No.
It was one of the coolest things ever.
That's very cool. Aren't you all glad that there aren't that many circuses around that parade animals like they used to? I know I am.
Yes, I mean, no. The selfish part of me enjoyed seeing it, but I can't believe they're being treated like they should be treated. I agree.
When Ringling said no more, I thought it's about time. I'm surprised that this, what's that, small circus, I guess?
I guess it is.
Little independent circuses, Well, you know what? Those people that elephant did that to your lawn, congratulations. You got a deal. Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Dennis Gasciola.
I love the diversity here. I go to a big church in Fairfield, California, a very diverse church. And if you're not comfortable in a church like that, don't worry about heaven. You're not going. No, that's what heaven's going to be like. All of God's children around the throne speaking Spanish. It's going to be beautiful. Come on, he named his son Jesus. That was in the book. He didn't name him Jeffrey. He didn't name him Jamil. He named him Jesus. Oh, there's a lot of Latinos in the Bible. They don't teach this most Sundays. You got to read between the lines. Moses was very Mexican. Come on, who else? Get a bunch of people across the river to the promised land. That's my people. We've been doing this for thousands of years, okay? We're not undocumented, we're traditionalists. King David, Mexican. Only a 5-foot Mexican could look at a 9-foot giant and go, I could take him. Abraham, Father Abraham, Mexican. Come on, he was 100 when his old lady got pregnant. Come on. Don't get churchy, that's in the Old Testament, all right? I didn't make that up, okay? Now, some people think Noah could have been Mexican. Noah was not Mexican. That story would have ended tragically different. Noah had been Mexican, man, because, you know, taking care of animals, that's a gift the Lord gave our white brothers and sisters. White folks, you can find a stray pit bull. That night, he will have a bath and be in your bed. It's just safe now. Noah had been Mexican. When the rain ended, the ark would open up. Noah steps off with some leather boots. The Lord is like, Noah, where are the cows? Would you like a taco? This is the gift the good Lord gave me, telling jokes. I went to Bible school for 5 years, and I'm still 3 years away from an associate's degree. This is what I got, jokes. You see some of those preachers on TV, they're so anointed. When they pray for people, the people fall out. I didn't get that one. I got jokes. And I understand why, because the sense of humor the Lord gave me, if he put that kind of anointing on my life, I would abuse it. I go to the movies and there's a big head person in front of me. I go to the post office and there's a long line. I'm like, oh, we're about to have revival up in here. I'm in front.
Very funny.
Oh, man.
Dennis Gasciola. And we will have that posted up for you in just a minute here at BOBANDSHERI.com. And while you're there, maybe sign up for the Bob and Sherry newsletter. We do not spam you. It only goes out once a month, and there's all kinds of cool stuff in it. Stuff that you know, we didn't do on the show, contests even, all kinds of goodies at BOBANDSHERI.com. Coming up, things Bob didn't know. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to BobandSherry.com.
Enter our Mother's Day contest at BobandSherry.com to win a necklace from Landon Lacey Jewelry, a custom check feather and down Mother's Day pillow, and more. Just submit a photo and tell us about what makes your mom so great.
Major, major milestone in my life happens this Friday when my firstborn graduates from college.
Wow. Can't believe it. Can't believe it.
And she is not walking in her college's big commencement ceremony. She is her school, they do a big commencement for everybody. And then each individual school does its own separate commencement. And that's really like intimate and small. And she's an art major. So she just doesn't want to do the whole, you know, pomp and circumstance thing. She's still wearing a cap and gown and all that because
I didn't want to do that either. I didn't want to do that either. Now I still had 2 years to go before I would graduate.
Before you graduated.
I did not walk.
She was really nervous about telling me because I'm so sentimental and she knows that. But, you know, she'll still have her cap and gown and we'll still go to her school's individual commencement. And I've been to her university. I went and watched her roommates graduate that were a year ahead of her. So I've been to that commencement and I have to accept that that's her decision. Kevin, of course, is thrilled because, you know, the thought of sitting through 2,700 people graduating was making him break out into hives. So yeah, it's a big day. And it's funny. I've been thinking a lot about, she texted me yesterday afternoon and said, Mom, I just took my last ever college class. The only thing that's left are exams. I feel so weird. And it is a strange feeling because like it's been your life. It's consumed you. Because of Olivia's a studio art major, and COVID shutting classes down meant that she spent an extra year, which I was fine with. I thought it was good for her. But she, like, this has been her life. And this is all she's ever heard from me growing up was, you know, I'm going to save up so that you can go to college and your life is going to be different from my life. And I promise you that that's the one thing I can make happen. I can make your life different from mine. And now it's ending. And it's a really...
What is she going to do?
Well, she's going to spend a couple of years. She got a promotion at her job that she's had for the past 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. So she's going to spend a couple of years working and just kind of being a human being and making art and deciding what she wants to do next. Is that grad school? You know, you don't know. And it's okay to not... Like I told both my girls... You don't have to know what the rest of your life looks like when you're 17 or 18 years old. It's okay to discover it as you go. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to make one set of plans and then have your life take a wild, like my life did, a wild, sharp turn in a completely unexpected direction. You have to be open to that or if you're not open to that, it could come your way and you won't see it. Right? Because you're being so rigid about what you think you're supposed to be and do. But I have been in my feelings big time. You've been here, Lamar, as you can imagine. You know, because I can close my eyes and be right back in that hospital just a few hours after she was born and looking at her and realizing I have no idea what to do with this. I cannot believe they're going to let me take this home without supervision of any kind or like a class. And now to think that she's about to graduate, I'm like super, super proud. Super proud
of
her.
Yeah, well, you should be. I, every parent, there are people listening right now that are in similar situations. And it is a great moment. And it's okay to be proud when you're able to give your children or at least help them, whether it's financially or with encouragement, and see them graduate college.
That's not what I'm proud of. I mean, she, like a lot of kids, she had COVID really hijack a couple years of her life. And she struggles with like severe anxiety. And that didn't help. You know, COVID did not help with that. And we had some really rocky moments where it was just kind of hard to keep it between the lines. And she did all of that. She figured all of that out for herself. I'm proud of her for getting to this point in her life. I'm grateful that we could help, but I'm proud of her for doing the work. Yeah. So I'm just letting you all know that I will be a sobbing, weepy mess pretty much from now until, you know me, maybe mid-October. I should be able to pull myself back together right before Halloween. Straight ahead.
I look forward to that, don't you guys?
I know you do.
Yeah, for the next 4 months.
Oh, Kevin. Yeah. Kevin's never been happier. Yeah. Things Bob didn't know. This is Bob and Sherry.
And now on the Bob and Sherry Show, it's another exciting episode of Things Bob Didn't Know.
Oh, yes. Welcome all. Welcome all. Listen to this one. Footprints left by the Apollo astronauts could take up to 100 million years to disappear because there is no wind to erase them on the moon. 100 million years is also the amount of time Bob and Sherry will carry resentment for losing a Marconi Award 12 times. 100 million years.
I'm super pleased that you think that we'll ever let it go. I thought we were never letting it go, but 100 million years, that's growth for us, I think.
I have to be open for growth there. Listen to this. This is something I didn't know. Crocodiles can climb trees.
No.
Crocodiles can climb trees. I got to tell you, when the good Lord was making creatures, I think he caught he was in a bad mood. We'd done something. And he said, look at these. I'm going to give them something that's, number one, scary looking. Number two, just about bulletproof. Number three, they'll live forever. Number four, they're dinosaurs. They're going to be around forever. Number five, they will take you down into a death throw and kill you. And on top of that, if they try to get away, this thing's going to climb a tree and get them.
I did not know that.
I didn't. No, I'm not saying it could go up an oak tree to the very top and get a leaf, but they can evidently, because of those claws, get up a tree. Experts say the best way.
Bob, you wouldn't need it to be able to climb that high. You're going up the tree and you look down and it's coming behind you. You scream, let go, and it eats you. Like it just the shock value alone would make you lose your mind of seeing a crocodile coming up the tree.
You know, you're exactly right. I mean, just in your mind's eye, the idea that, oh, I think I got away, but now he's coming up the tree. You would almost say it's time to give up. You know, there's what can I do to get away from this monster? Experts say the best way to open a stubborn jar is to use dry rubber gloves. Dry rubber gloves beat hot water, towels, scissors, and my favorite, banging it on a stainless steel sink. Dry rubber glove. I'll tell you what, if Mary comes into the kitchen and says, I can't open this. Can you open this for me? I'm not the strongest guy in the world, but I will make that thing open until my eyeballs burst out of my head. I will not fail at giving that jar open to her, because if I don't, I look weak. And if I do, I look like, I just look like Sylvester Stallone, you know? I will stay with that thing. And I can give up, as Sherry can tell you, I can give up on something pretty easily.
I didn't know about the dry rubber glove thing, but for Christmas a couple years ago, one of the kids put something in my stocking. It's like a rubber pot holder shaped like a frog. Yes. And it just goes right. You know what I'm talking about. It just covers your fingertips. I have discovered you can open almost any jar with that bad boy.
Wasn't there a product called the Cap Snaffler?
Cap Snaffler,
Wasn't
the Cap Snaffler.
And that was kind of like that. Wasn't it rubber also? And you could just... All right, let's keep the sexiness going here. roughly 300 dead people are currently frozen, waiting to be revived with future technology. There are 300 of them.
This is one of those things that I'm very, very fascinated by.
Walt Disney, and another one was Ted Williams. What was his head? The rest of his
it was just. I never could understand. I love Ted. I was born on his birthday, but I just thought to myself, Ted, why just the head? Go ahead.
If it works
take
out,
the whole body.
Yeah, if it works out, and all you got's the head. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
No.
You have a great body. You have.
And that head would come too, and he'd be singing, I ain't got no body.
That's right. Put him back.
Listen,
put him back.
Those cryogenic things, something that you need to know is there have been more oops, the body's got thawed, than you are really going to be comfortable with.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like chicken. Like once you thaw it out and try to freeze it again, it ain't no good.
It's not any good. Just and like finally, chicken. With things Bob didn't know, brunch, Eggs Benedict, Bloody Marys, and Coca-Cola were all originally invented to cure hangovers. And there you are. Things Bob didn't know. You see a gator, start running fast. It's Bob and Sherry.
At the Bob and Sherry Show, we know there are all kinds of different cats. And we would like to see yours. Every day is Catterday. Just submit a pic of your cat at the Catterday dropdown at bobandsherry.com, and you could be one of our weekly winners who get a copy of their photo and a keepsake sleeve, along with a free hide and scratch scratcher box. Hide and Scratch combines two things cats love, scratching and boxes. Hide and Scratch keeps the mess of cardboard scratchers in the box and provides a great place for your cats to snuggle up. Check out hideandscratch.com. We want to see every kind of cat. Yeah, including that one.
Good kitty.
From Hide and Scratch and Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
Maybe it's just me. But even as a little boy, I thought about having a flamethrower. I thought that would be really, really cool. Because all of the army movies that I watched had flamethrowers, okay?
Yeah.
And even then, a lot of horror movies, especially the movie Them, that movie had the giant ants, they had flamethrowers to fight the ants with. A company has taken this flamethrower idea and married it to a robot dog. The company called Throw Flame has mounted a flamethrower on the back of a robotic dog, and they're calling it the Terminator. Okay, the Terminator. The Ohio-based company is selling the Terminator, a robot dog with a back-mounted flamethrower, which the company says can send streams of fire up to 30 feet with the push of the remote control button. There's video that's shared on Throw Flame's Facebook, and it shows the Terminator walking around a wooded area, and it's spewing flames out and jumping around. And if you're worried about this being legal, don't. It is legal in 49 states. Only Maryland bans it. California does require a permit, but it is legal. Now, if you want to own your own fire-throwing dog, it's available on Throw Flame's website for $9,420. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say, that sounds very reasonable. I really believe less than $10,000 is reasonable for a robot dog that can walk and run and throw flames.
Now, I'm with you.
I have not done a product review in a good while. Can we get one of these for me to test out and review? I know Tony's not going to be wanting, but it's under $10,000. It's under $10,000, and I could do a great review on the robot dog and a flamethrower.
Hey, Sherry, you know that neighbor you don't get along with?
Well, there you go.
Oh, yeah. She'd love to see that coming.
Just telling you. Keep it in
enjoy
mind.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, let's talk to Tony about that, because I would love to review this. Oh, the flamethrowing robot dog. Everybody wants one. This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, oddcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
It's talk back time. You can call the show any time of the day or night. You can call it right now at 844-52-SHERI, or you can grab our app, which is free in Google Play and the Apple Store. And you can listen to the show with it and all of our podcasts and text the studio and tap that little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, this is Heidi from Wisconsin. Just commenting on the Bob mansplaining. He mansplains what your show is all the time. He'll say, to listeners just tuning in, the Bob and Sherry show is a show about cats, pizza, and the song Jolene. And he constantly does that. And it makes myself and my daughter laugh so hard that he mansplains everything. Anyway, love the show. Thanks.
Let me explain that. Number one, you work with cows. You work with cows.
The most dangerous animal on earth, mister.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that is. Be very careful. Watch where you step, as a matter of fact. I love our audience so much, and not just the people that have been with us for a long time, who have been with us for a long time, but people who are just joining us and discovering the wonderful world of Bob and Sherry. And I want them to understand who everybody is, and you know that it's not a show that attacks people. It's hopefully kind of funny, and yeah, sure. We don't work with barnyard animals, but you know, we're in radio, and so that's a close second, you know? Yeah.
Well, let's say someone was just tuning in for the first time today. How would you explain what we do to that person?
I would not be able to after a caller that has cows, because I've never heard that. I've never heard a radio show where the guests have cows. I'm not anti-cow. I am pro-farmer, you know, very pro-farmer, but
look at you.
It is different, you know, than other shows. How do I explain it? I don't, you know, it's like sitting around a breakfast table, a big breakfast table, and everybody, you know, is just talking, you know, or think of it as a cocktail party, you know. That's kind of what it is, right? I don't think I do say, I wish he hadn't said that, because now everybody's going to notice that every time I do it, that if you're just joining us, I can no longer say that anymore. You know,
I always like how that. You used to say, you might not like us at first.
Well, that is true. Well, we used to get a lot of complaints in the early days. You know, we'd be plopped on a station, a wonderful station. Because almost all of our stations, if you're just joining us,
all
are
of
wonderful
them are.
Stations.
All of
they're,
them.
They're
all I've wonderful. Always, I've always liked when you explain the show and tell people that I'm the hood ornament, because that is the one thing on the vehicle you can snap off and not impact performance at all.
Here I'm giving you a compliment, an obvious compliment, and what do? You make fun.
The hood ornament.
You know, someday you're not going to have me to kick around. You know, and I understand what Nixon felt. Okay.
Someday.
Oh my God.
I can't say that anymore now. If you're just joining us, and I thought it was a very nice, you know. Oh, somebody's just tuned in. Do you think people sit there for 4 hours a day, every day, and listen to every thought?
Oh, I know they don't. Oh, please,
right.
I know they don't.
People that listen on the podcast do. They listen to
well,
it
the
all.
Podcast.
Yeah. That's different. Yeah, that's different. Because you know, when you're listening to us, like you're in your car and you're on your way to work, you're dealing with traffic. You maybe have other people in the car. You know, you've got like so much going on. People who listen later in the day to the rest of the show via podcast typically have earbuds in. It's a whole different experience.
Yes.
Those are the people. Yeah. That are hearing.
Yeah, if you're just
you
joining
that
us, that's called drive time. Drive time. If you're just where there are more cars on the road because people are going to work early, and that's why we're on, because that's where the most people are. And then the afternoon drive time is when they're going home from their work.
Not to be a bossy hood ornament, but we must pause now. We'll come back with some more, including how
to
make...
That's another word we have for her.
Some easy life hacks to help you make a new friend, because it's so hard to do once you're an adult. It's Bob and Sherry.
Hey, it's Lamar. Thanks for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast. Have you checked out the Oddcast podcast? That's where you can find all the stuff that we can't do on the radio, including the Talkin' Lamar podcast. In this episode of Talkin' Lamar, Spit Bath Before Church, I'm talking about my church experiences as a kid. Don't miss it.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Half man, half frog. Do I have your attention? I read the wildest story about Britain's royal family. I think because I click on all of the Harry and Meghan and Princess of Wales conspiracy theories, that must account for why my newsfeed has gotten very weird. But I'm reading this article about the late Queen Mother, so Queen Elizabeth's mother. She came from a very rich
and powerful and old English family that allegedly, the Strathmores, that allegedly has been under a curse going back more than 200 years. Today, the Earl of Strathmore, who is, of course, related to King Charles, has served jail time for sexual assault, and he's not allowed to drive anymore because he's had so many DUIs. But that's nothing compared to what went on with some of the other Earls of Strathmore's. So the oldest sister of the Queen Mother died of diphtheria. Then her brother died from getting hit in the head by a cricket ball. Then her other brother was killed in World War I. Then another brother died from an abscess on his lung. Then her nephew was killed in World War II. Then her niece died in mysterious circumstances in Switzerland. The Queen Mother lived to be 101. They say she's the only one that escaped the curse of the Strathmores. But the one who suffered the most was Thomas Lyon Bowes. Thomas Lyon Bowes. It's said that he was born and died on the same day, October 18th, 1821. That's the official story. But no, that's not what happened. Apparently, he lived his entire life locked up in a secret chamber in Glamis Castle, which was the Strathmore family home. And the 13th Earl of Strathmore, Claude, who was the Queen Mother's father, said, if you could guess the castle's secrets, you would get down on your knees and thank God it was not yours. Because Thomas Strathmore did not die the day he was born. He was half man, half frog, and they kept him locked up in the castle for his entire life. And now they say that his ghost haunts that castle to this day. I don't know who's doing public relations for the monarchy in the United Kingdom, but they need to get whoever does it for Taylor Swift and lure Tree Paint on over to England, because these people cannot, they don't know what to do with the media, clearly.
When did he croak?
Well, he was,
that is the question.
So listen.
Thank you.
Nobody, the staff, all the servants for the Strathmore in the castle, they all took the secret to their grave. No one ever told about the half man, half frog locked up in a secret chamber for his entire life. Hey, do y'all remember when Queen Elizabeth was alive and stories like this did not get out? Do you remember that? I do.
I don't know what to say about this. Unless,
she was on a pretty tight ship.
She did. unless this royalty member was insane and they were just making up some sort of stories to cover it. I don't know.
Oh, no.
I mean, what can you say about this?
There were people that were very, very, very mentally ill. Two of the Strathmore women were kept in an asylum, and nobody ever visited them. Nobody. It was such a secret that these two women were in this mental institution. The family put them there when they were very, very small. They never even learned to talk. Nobody ever visited them. Nobody ever sent them a birthday card. When Nerissa Strathmore died, only staff members from the institution went to her funeral. And this was a giant public scandal because at the time, the Queen Mother was the royal patron of MenCap, which was a nonprofit devoted to people with mental health disorders. But between locking the two women up in an asylum and locking the half man, half frog up in the castle, this is exactly the kind of publicity that never used to get out.
He missed a whole career as a character on a cereal box, you know? Just totally.
This is why we may be filthy colonial rabble, but in America, a half man, half frog has a shot at Hollywood. And we don't lock them up in a castle. Isn't that wild? I'm starting to think that they're letting these stories come out to distract us from why we haven't seen the Princess of Wales or her children in 5 months.
Yeah, that could be.
All right. Straight ahead, how to make a brand new friend as a grown-up. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
Something that you hear a lot that I think is really, really true is how hard it is to make friends once you're an adult. You know, and you're not thrown together with people like you are in school, and you don't necessarily have a ton of free time to go out and play. So it's really hard to make friends. And there are some people who just feel like they don't have any friends at all, really. You know, all they do is work and go home and then go back to work the next day. So an expert in this kind of thing came up with 7 things that you can say, 7 phrases that help you make a new friend. So the first one is, I love your blank, fill in the blank, where did you get it? So 40% of people think that if they approach a stranger, that person would like to talk to them. But the reality is that 92% of strangers would like to be approached. So people really do want to talk to you. And a really good way to open somebody up and make them feel comfortable is with a sincere compliment. So you can't be phony about it. It's got to be a sincere compliment. Here's the next phrase. Ask people, how do you like, let's say there's a new, coffee place that's opened up in your neighborhood and you decide to go there and there's some people there and you would like to strike up a conversation. How do you like this place? They make these muffins here, right? So you it's something that you both have like in common in that moment and you can chat about it. Now, how do you take it to the next level? This one is a little bit awkward, like to imagine doing, but I guess Lamar could probably do it. It was great to meet you. I'd love to stay in touch if you're open to it. How do you like to stay connected? You know, you want to text, you want email, want me to DM you on your Instagram? Have you ever just come right out and said that to a person?
I've been in that experience recently because, as you know, Mary has been pushing me to make new friends, and I don't make them easily. I keep up with my old friends, but I haven't had a new one in quite a while. And so the husband of one of her friends just moved near us. The couple moved near us. And we've been seeing them as a couple for 3 or 4 months. And we both decided, the two guys, because our wives are pushing for it, to become friends. And we've gone out to lunch twice. And I have to say that he brought it up. Let's have lunch. And I said, yeah, let's do that. And in the back of my mind, I'm saying, you'll never call him. You'll never call him. And then I just said, call him, call him. And we had lunch and it was very nice. And then we had to make plans for another lunch. But I'm going to be honest with you. Looking into this strange guy's eyes, and he is a terrific guy, smart, successful, and saying, yeah, let's have lunch again. It was a an odd feeling for me. And I'm enjoying, you know, easing toward a friendship. But it was a really strange moment to say, I'm going to commit to having another lunch with you.
And what did he say?
He said, yes. He's very interested. He's moving to an area. He doesn't have any friends. And so, you know, he's trying to figure that out. It's just, I have no history with the guy. I can go back and see my friends from high school, and maybe we haven't seen each other in 10 years, but we had something back then that we can, you know, laugh about. It's the newness of it.
If everyone is waiting to be asked, then no one ever gets asked. Somebody's got to take a deep breath and jump in, right? Yeah. Another thing that's another phrase that'll help you make a friend is, hey, I know, here's an example. Do you have any recommendations for us? So you might say to someone, hey, I know you listen to a lot of podcasts. Can you recommend one that's good and murdery? Or, well, you might not want to say that to a stranger because then they'll block you on social media. But you know what
good
I'm saying,
point.
Right?
Yeah, right. Good point.
I know you're a big reader. I've been looking for a book to really dive into. Is there anything you'd recommend? Here's how you get to that second lunch, Bob, in your own words, though. I've really enjoyed getting to know you. Let's make plans to do this again. And then, you know, maybe the person is agreeable, or maybe you get the vibe that this is one and done for them. Either way, like, don't, everybody can't sit and wait to be asked. Here's another one. Maybe you run into someone that you would like to get to know better and you haven't been able to figure out how to do it. And then you bump into them and you go, oh, I just watched the new Nicolas Cage movie that Lamar reviewed last week, Arcadian. Mm-hmm. I just watched Arcadian and it made me think of you because I know how you feel about Nicolas Cage. I've been meaning to reach out. How have you been? Now you have something common to talk about. And the last one is, and this, I don't think I could say this. I'm always looking for new friends to play pickleball or listen to murdery podcasts. Are you up for that? That to me is the most awkward one of all of them.
No.
Yeah.
You can kick that one out. That's not going to work out.
I didn't love that one either. We'll post these up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook because it's super hard to make friends when you're grown up. But we all can't just wait to be picked. You got to do some picking. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back. Talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I saw something online the other day. This person said, I smashed my pinky toe. Evidently, they caught their pinky toe in a door jam. And it like the pinky toe separated from the other toes a little bit. Yeah. And the person who did that said, that was the exact moment I learned that I could speak 17 foreign languages.
It's so true.
It is so true. God, I've been trying to watch my language, you know, because we're having the grandchildren come for several days and I don't want to let anything slip out there. So I'm really watching it. But I was underneath the table that I'm broadcasting from a couple of days ago, and I got up too quickly and hit my head on it. I let some things fly. The dog left the room. That's how bad it was. When your dog wants to get away from you, and he loves you, but he can't be around you at that moment, you got to change. I had a girlfriend once who, she started swearing too much. So she took elastic bands, put it around her wrist, and every time she popped one off, she would snap it. And she said it worked pretty good. I may have to go to that. I've got to stop.
I remember when you tried that.
I tried that. And after about six snaps, I said, well, this. And took that rubber band right off because it hurt.
It's not in the spirit of the elastic band trick at all.
It's really not.
It's really not. It is funny how there are some things that are so human and so basic, and we've all experienced them. And I just learned this morning from your reactions that the smash pinky toe is one of them. Everybody knows that, right? It's different.
Yes.
It's different than the big toe. It's the pinky toe that you have to watch out for.
Yeah.
Careful out there. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Maybe it's me, but just a little bit ago, we somehow got on the subject of instrumental hits on the radio. And we started talking about a guy named Floyd Kramer. And then Lamar said, oh, yeah, my uncle Jim Tom from Fargo, Georgia, down there by the Okefenokee Swamp. And I know I didn't have a gummy today. What was the point of that story? What did Uncle Jim Tom and the Okefenokee Swamp have to do with Floyd Kramer?
Y'all were just asking me where Uncle Jim Tom was from. And I said Fargo, Georgia, is next to the Okefenokee Swamp. So I'm giving you a deal. But the reason Floyd Kramer, when I was a kid, when Uncle Jim Tom would come visit him and Aunt Alma, his wife's name was Alma, and he always had the coolest car. I mean, he rolled up in a 57 T-Bird hardtop. I mean, no problem. I mean, right. he had all, and then he had a big Ford Galaxy always had a brand new car coming up. And so I'd go out there and he'd let me sit in his car and just look at stuff. And he had an 8-track in-dash tape player, which I had never seen. Never seen. And so on the tape, it said Floyd Kramer. And so I turned the key on and pushed the tape in. And all I'm hearing is this piano playing. And I think this might have been one of the songs. And I'm thinking, where's the singing? There's no singing going on. And so I started looking in his tape collection, and he was a Floyd Kramer man. I mean, he loved Floyd Kramer. So I felt like Floyd Kramer was only listened to by people that had money, because my Uncle Jim Tom had a new car every time he come to see us. And so that's just my thought about Floyd Kramer. And now I understand instrumentals means there's no words. There's no words.
When Lamar, when I was little,
that car. Your uncle was defined.
Uncle Jim Tom?
As the car guy, wasn't he?
Yes, he was the car guy.
Lamar, when I was little, I thought that only rich people were allowed to listen to classical music, which had no singing in it.
Yeah.
I thought you had to like pass some sort of an income test to be allowed to listen to Beethoven.
Yeah.
Did Uncle Jim Tom have a lady?
Yeah, Alma.
Alma? Why didn't I know her name was going to be Alma?
You won't remember this. Years ago, I told the story. They were spending the night at the house, and I opened the door too quick, and there Alma was getting dressed, and I saw some things I had never seen.
Oh,
and
my God.
It bothered me. It bothered me. It really did.
So what did Jim Tom do for a living?
You know, I was just sitting here thinking, I don't know. He could have been a drug runner. I don't know.
Your father.
Of course not.
Can I ask another question about Uncle Jim Tom?
Yeah.
Was there another Jim in the family, like a big Uncle Jim, and so we had to call Uncle Jim Tom Uncle Jim Tom to set them apart?
That's not how that works.
No, there was always two names, man. Southern two names. Jim Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Jim Tom.
You want to hear one other thing about Floyd Kramer?
It's Floyd Kramer Day on the show. Absolutely.
Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was the studio musician for the TV show Hee Haw.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, he was.
Maybe that's how Uncle Jim Tom discovered him, because I know, like, Hee Haw was huge back in the day, right?
Never missed it.
Yeah.
Never missed it.
I guarantee you, Uncle Jim Tom watched Hee Haw.
Oh, yeah. Well, anybody of any kind of culture did. I'm just saying.
Of course.
Yeah. Was Uncle Jim Tom, like, a snappy dresser to go with the new car every year?
Yeah. The only thing it detracted, he's a good looking, had kept his hair slicked back, but one of his ears was messed up because somebody was casting a fishing rod and he caught his ear with a hook and it was all shriveled up.
Hey Max, this is too much, but I believe it. You know?
How many cliches can we cram into this story?
I think we're done. Honestly.
I don't know. Bob, I've got a feeling if he kept on, we'd get about five more.
Maybe you're right.
He did have a drinking problem. I'm going to go ahead and tell you.
What kind of cigarettes did he smoke?
A bunch.
Kevin, did you put a gummy in my cereal? Because Lamar's Uncle Jim Tom got a fishing hook in his ear.
I'm
pretty sure that didn't.
We could go on and on saluting the great Floyd Kramer, but.
And the great Uncle Jim Tom, excuse me. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
We've got a great vacation for teachers this summer in beautiful Fort Myers Beach, Florida. They'll enjoy the food, the music, the sunsets, and the Fins Up Beach Club at Margaritaville Beach Resort from Visit Florida. Nominate a teacher to win this vacation at bobandsherry.com.
Would you like to hear about cheaters?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So some researchers in marriage asked a bunch of people, and I don't know how many, but it seems like a fairly good sampling, about their cheating. And they had to be honest about it. And here are a couple of things that jumped out. Men who believe in love at first sight are three times more likely to cheat on their partner. The only thing I could come up with is they are wired to be more compulsive. What do you think?
It makes sense to me because they're romantic, right? If you believe in love at first sight, you're a romantic person. And I think the impulsive part is there too. I think maybe they're easily tempted because they're so romantic.
You know, calling them romantic really gives them kind of a pass. I would not call them romantic. I would stay with the compulsiveness of it, or perhaps a big ego, a need, filling something that's empty. But I mean, the romantic.
I think people that believe in love at first sight are romantic by nature. Now, just mm-hmm. because you're romantic doesn't mean you're not going to behave badly. You know, you're not going to.
Yeah.
Just because you're romantic doesn't mean that you're going to be loyal or consistent. You're just,
yeah, but it's,
you're a
it's
romantic
not a pass.
Person.
You know, your wife catches you cheating, you know, with somebody and you go, hey, you know, what can I say? I'm romantic.
Yeah. I'm not giving them a pass, but I think that that's part of the problem of being a deeply romantic person.
Is that's like robbing a bank and they catch you, you know, and you say, hey, what can I say? I enjoy spending money, you know.
Yeah. Here's the thing about being a romantic person. When a relationship reaches the point where, you know, it's not all fireworks all the time, mm-hmm. it's easy mm-hmm. to get bored. And then they cheat because they're looking for that chase and that high, that romantic high.
I think, exactly right. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. For 75% of the single men in this and 80% of the single women, it takes at least 5 dates over a number of weeks to decide whether or not to get serious. Unfaithful men averaged 4 affairs compared to women who averaged 2 affairs.
So it's twice as many.
Twice as many.
Uh-huh.
It's more emotional for the women doing it. It's more emotional.
I think
that's
true.
Yeah, and that takes a little longer. Yeah, that takes a little longer.
48% of the men said they could forgive their wife if she had a fling with, you know, her free pass, whoever it may be.
I find that hard to believe, honestly.
I do too. If Mary was to cheat on me, I would rather than Chris Hemsworth, I would rather she cheat with a guy who has a face like a beagle's butt. Because I could hold that up. The rest, you know what I mean?
Well, you don't want to be competing with Chris Hemsworth. No.
Right.
No.
That's exactly, that makes no sense to me. Yeah.
Well, I think what they're saying is they could understand it. They could understand it.
Yeah. Whereas the guy with a face like a beagle's butt, what are you, you know, what's
still,
going on in the background?
Still, she cheats on you with Chris Hemsworth and you work it out and you stay together. You're telling me that Thor is not on your mind at times. You know, you get out of the shower and you look in the mirror and you realize, I do not have Thor's body or his hammer. Yeah. Like, oh, right. No. Right?
If Carla asks me to grow my hair out, put a man bun on, I'm going to be concerned.
Right. Exactly. This is Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
So I read an interesting article about actors that are so associated with one of the characters they played. And some of these actors have done a gazillion things, but this is the character that people think of first when they hear their name. So see if you guys agree or disagree. Kathy Bates comes up first on the list for her role in Misery. Now, think of all the things. Kathy Bates was great in the movie about Schmidt. She was in Titanic. I mean, she's just done so many things. But when you hear Kathy Bates, what's the first thing you think?
Misery. No, that's true. And what about Schmidt is the second one.
And she's amazing in that. All right.
About
the
Schmidt,
the actor Jim Parsons, who is considered to be an incredible actor on stage and on screen, he played Sheldon Cooper on The Big Bang Theory. Is there anything else you can imagine Jim Parsons
doing? He will always be.
Yeah.
He's a type.
And I've seen him in other things, and he is a very good actor.
He's a type physically. So there's certain things that he will never do.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an article about how difficult it is to become a successful working actor and how much of it depends on right place, right time, that it's so much more about just luck than anybody knows. And they used The Big Bang Theory as an example. They said when they were casting The Big Bang Theory, they had to cast the role of Sheldon Cooper. They almost had to cast it first because the rest of the cast would be based on who they found for Sheldon Cooper. And they looked at a lot of actors and then Jim Parsons. And as soon as they saw him, they said, this is Sheldon Cooper. And the person writing this article was like a Hollywood casting person. And they said, here's the thing about Jim Parsons. He's a great actor. He can do Shakespeare. But when he walked into the room, he was that character. And that's why today he is a multi-millionaire, because he just happened to be that guy. There were plenty of other actors who auditioned who were great, but none of them looked like what they had in their mind for Sheldon Cooper. And Max, you're an actor. You know that better than anybody, right? That
right.
Sometimes they're just looking for someone who's taller or shorter or, you know, has like a distinctive facial feature. And your talent really doesn't have anything to do with it, right?
Yeah.
do you think that he was trying to – do you think he was trying to play the character at the audition? Like maybe he had an idea. They gave him an idea of who the character was. And he just walked into the room with that attitude? Or was it strictly the physicality of it?
More than attitude, right? Because if Charlie Sheen or Brad Pitt had walked in, they wouldn't have been cast as Sheldon Cooper.
I remember hearing somebody that was involved with the production of that show, and they said he came in and he killed it so well on that first audition, they decided they were going to have him come back for a second one to see if he could recreate that. Because that was what their concern was. Could he actually do this again? So he came in with an idea. So he has the physical type, but he came in with an idea of what he wanted to do with it. And it was absolutely perfect for what they wanted.
Yeah.
Here's another actor that's an example of this. Wayne Knight. I say Wayne Knight and you say?
Newman.
Newman from Seinfeld.
Always going to be, even though, you know, he had that famous scene with, what was the movie with?
Basic Instinct.
Basic Instinct.
Yeah. Jurassic Park.
He was Park,
Newman too. In Jurassic Park, was he not, Lamar? Yeah, he was Newman.
He was Newman.
In Space Jam, the movie that had Michael Jordan and the Warner Brothers cartoon characters. He had a real moment in the 90s. I just listened to a podcast where Jason Alexander interviewed him, and it was very interesting what they had to say about some of this stuff. What a great part each of them had, but forever they will be those characters, and it is a curse in a way.
You know what's another example of the Jim Parsons Sheldon Cooper problem is Jaleel White. Jaleel White played Urkel.
Yeah.
And so unforgettably that you forget that Jaleel White is an actor who can do a lot of other things. He's just like Jim Parsons. He is that character in people's minds, and super hard to break out of it. But if you're Jim Parsons or Jaleel White, yeah, maybe you dreamed of a career playing a gazillion parts, but you hit the biggest jackpot of all time in part.
Do you remember, as an actor,
Max, would you take that deal?
Yeah, I would.
I would too. Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
We know she's more than a mother.
Come give your mama a kiss.
Bob and Sherry want to celebrate your mom or the mother figure in your life. Just send us a brief description with a picture of you and your mom. Hit the contest tab at bobandsherry.com, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to get a Mother of Pearl necklace from Landon Lacey Jewelry. LandonLacey.com. A custom-made Mother's Day pillow from Check Feather and Down. A limited edition Mother of All Mothers huge latte mug. A limited edition Mother of All Mothers one size fits most nightshirt.
Hello, Mother.
We know she's more than a mother. Enter now at bobandsherry.com.
Don't forget to tell your mom you love her.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
This is one of those things that you never really think about, and then you hear about it and you go, well, that makes sense. Australian hospitals are asking snake bite victims to stop bringing the snakes that bit them into the ER. Because sometimes the snake is in a plastic bag or like a cup or a Tupperware container. And as one hospital's director said, having live and venomous snakes in the ER puts staff and patients at risk and makes everyone nervous. So you have to agree with that, right? You have to understand
it. Can't deny it.
But I thought you needed the snake. I thought you needed the snake for them to do them.
No, you need to take a selfie. You need to take a selfie with a snake.
Well, they have like 3,000. Australia is a fierce place for wildlife. They have about 3,000 snake bites a year that show up in hospital emergency rooms. And just recently, they had a man come in who'd been bitten and he had the snake in a plastic container, and the snake wasn't having it. So the snake was trying desperately to escape. Staff was freaked out. People were screaming. That's not a good vibe in the emergency department, which is already a very, very stressful environment. Right. And people think that they need to show the doctor the snakes. But this hospital director said, doctors are not trained in snake identification, so you're not really helping anyone. You know, he said, we can determine if you need anti-venom. And then if you do, we can figure out what kind based on clinical signs and blood tests. And we have snake venom detection kits here at the hospital. So bring your snake-bitten self in, leave the snake that bit you out, and let us just do our jobs. I want you to imagine being in the ER for something, and if somebody comes in with a Piggly Wiggly bag with a venomous snake in it, and everyone's screaming and running. Very, very stressful. It's Nurse. Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.